Advices Radio Network.
Advices Radio is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The opinions of the host are not meant to be taken as medical advice. If you have a health concern, see a doctor immediately.
When it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advice. The wrong
Welcome to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and you are listening to episode number 41. Today, we've got a double feature for you. For starters, we're going to speak with IFBB Pro, John Simmons. This will be the second time that we've had John on. Back on episode number 31, he came on to talk about contest prep strategies. Today, we're going to speak about his role as a contest promoter. At the end of this week is the John Simmons Classic. That'll be Saturday, May 13th. John has been working on this show for over a year now, and today we're going to talk about what it takes to put a show together. We're going to talk about how the judging works and a whole lot more. John's always fun to have on. I'm glad to have him back. After that, we're going to speak to Ben Chomotsky. Ben is an NPC competitor at the national level. He is in classic physique, and he's been scoring top five in a lot of the big shows. I feel like it's just a matter of time before he does something really big, and I can't wait. Advices Radio is going to be there to support him, and we can't wait to see it happen. Today, we're going to speak with him about his company, Eclipse Tanning. Tanning is a super important part of putting the bodybuilding package together, and Ben's going to talk to us all about that and how the company works. So guys, I hope that you enjoy this program. For a lot of people that don't know any better, they think bodybuilding competition and automatically visions of people like Sean Roden or, you know, guys like Phil Heath come to mind. The amateur circuit is different, and really my point with doing this show is to let you know that there's a place for everybody, and if you haven't gone to an amateur bodybuilding show, my suggestion is that you get out there today, you check it out, and if you're interested in this, if it looks like it's fun, think about the steps you need to take to make that a reality. For me, competition is a way for me to challenge myself and to do everything I can, reach outside of myself with a catalyst bigger than me, to find a way to make my physique better. And so that really, I think that competition is a great, healthy thing, and it's a great way to push your bodybuilding further. That's what I'd like to do with this program. Guys, I don't know what the weather's like where you're at, but I can tell you here that the grass is getting greener, the sun is getting warmer, the buds are on the trees, the birds are singing. It's getting to be nice outside. I am dieting. I'm doing my cardio outside. I'm listening to my podcasts. If you're doing your cardio and you're getting in shape and you're listening to Advices Radio right now, keep going. I hope that you're enjoying the programs, and I hope that we're making cardio just a little bit more fun. Advices Radio, making cardio less boring. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and with me today, back on the microphone, is IFBB Pro, John Simmons. Hey, John, how you doing today?
Good, my man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really good. How's your day? Were you? I assume you were out training people, because every time I see you, you've got somebody who's basically on a leg press screaming in agony.
Yes, that's how it is, man. It's a daily routine, you know, helping people reach their goals and pushing them, get themselves better physical fit and making sure that they get a good, solid workout in and making things better for them.
I noticed you work with a lot of competitors. Do you have a good number of non-competitors as well, or are most of the clients you work with in the gym competitive, physique athletes?
Well, you would think that the majority of my clients would be competitors based on the personnel that you see with the gym, but in all reality, it's about 50-50. 50% of my clients have nothing to do with competition, just good physical health for them.
Okay.
So it's about a 50-50 chance there that whenever I have someone, either they'll be just general health or they'll be into the competitive zone. So, yeah, I got both. I have a variety of competitors that have nothing to do with competition at all, but just a lot of physical fitness and just to get themselves better.
Right on. I assume you must train them a little bit differently because, you know, I see you in there with people like Sarah Kalicki or I see, you know, Ashley Schuster, and you're training them hard. Like they've never got a happy look on their face when they're training, but I can tell they're enjoying what they're doing.
Absolutely. Well, you base your training on the person that you're dealing with. You learn the people that you're with. You learn how to push them without pushing them overboard. And everybody has a little different concept of what they want. But you have to learn, if been a trainer, of how to evaluate someone and push them just to the right amount without going too far, but yet making sure that they get a very good workout and reach their goals or what they're set out to do.
Right on. So the reason that I've got you on today, you know, last time we spoke, we were a few months out from your contest that was coming up, and that's the John Simmons Classic, and that's going to be happening on May 13th. We are right around the corner from that now. How are things coming together for the show?
The show is coming together very good. It's going to be a good quality show. We're going to have some very good competitors there. As usual, you're going to have some newcomers in, but at the same time, there are going to be some veterans there that will be coming back trying to get qualified to go on to the next level. So it's going to be a good mixture. It's going to be a good combination of competitors in all divisions. So I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be a very, very good event.
Nice. Now, back when I started competing, you had two contests per year, and one of them was a qualifier, one of them was a non-qualifier. It seems like there aren't many non-qualifiers left in the state of Michigan. It seems like most shows will get you the qualification if you do well enough.
Well, the reason being is because now you have more divisions, you have more openings. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, you know, you have divisions now where you can still compete in a national qualifier, but yet be classified under the novice division, which is basically a beginner show. So most non-national qualifying show will be a novice show. But now you have those branches under the heading of a national qualifier. So you have it all in one ball of wax. So that's the reason for that.
I see. Yeah, and I'd like to point out, too, to the people listening at home, you know, if you haven't been out to a contest and, you know, if you're in the Michigan area, obviously come out and see John's show on the 13th. But, you know, if you're not, just head out to a show that's in your area because, you know, I think a lot of times people get the vision in their head of what a competitive bodybuilder looks like and they imagine, you know, Phil Heath or Jay Cutler. But for somebody who's starting out, you know, there's going to be a place for them still. If they've got, you know, some level of muscle and they can get themselves into good shape, you know, somebody can probably find themselves a place where they can compete, you know, at a show like this.
Absolutely, for sure. I think once a person, even if they have a thought of being interested in doing some competition, once they go out and attend the show and see exactly how it operates, how it goes, and see the different levels of competition there, it will make them feel more comfortable instead of being intimidated by some of the more advanced people that they see in the gym. So that's why I always urge people, if you have an idea in your mind that you want to compete, it's always best to go to a show and to check it out. I can guarantee you that you will come away from the show deciding whether or not this is going to be something for you, and most of the time it will be because you have, like I said before, there are different levels for beginners, you know, levels for intermediate, and levels for those who have already been there for a while, but you're trying to get to the next level. So there's something there for everyone, but they just have to make that leap and go out and check it out, and I guarantee you they'll be satisfied with it.
Right on. That makes sense to me. And I think, too, that the key there, like you said, is just getting out to the show because I find that I've dealt with some clients, some of my nutritional clients that want to compete, yet they've never been to a contest. They've never seen, you know, like what it actually takes. They don't know what, say, for instance, quarter turns are, but they want to compete. I think it's a great idea to see how the thing is ran, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I always encourage people, regardless of whether they're competitive or not, I tell this to all the time, you know, if you got an idea of competition, go online, check out some of the shows that have been posted, the posing that people have, check out the routines, and that way you have an idea of what's going to be asked of you when your time comes. And that way you'll feel better, because at that point, it will be time to decide at what point and time that I am going to compete. Yeah. And then you can start doing these things into your own routine, start practicing ahead of time. That's why people get more comfortable for you that way.
Yeah, that makes total sense. What do you have set up for judging? How many judges will be on the panel for this particular contest?
Well, you will have a minimum of 7. You
okay.
can have 5, you know, listen to odd number, but a minimum usually of 7 judges. And sometimes you may have a few more that will rotate in and out. You know, depends on the size of the show. But at least you'll have 5 to 7 for sure at everybody doing the show.
Okay. Now, if you have 7, from what I understand, the high and the low are thrown out, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So that means for anybody out there who's not familiar, that when everybody scored, they'll place everybody, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., and they'll take the high number out of all the judges and the low number out of all the judges. They'll get rid of those, and then they'll take the average of the remaining. Now, if there were a situation where there's 5 judges, there won't be a high and a low thrown out, correct?
That's correct, and it will balance out itself from there. You know, now, you know, in such cases, you do get situations where there will be a tie, in scoring, but then there's a format that is used to break the tie.
Really?
You know, and there's a certain format. You have to see it. It's very difficult to explain
okay. How
it works, but it's on paper. But there is a situation. In other words, to put it all in a nutshell, there's a way to break the tie and to make sure that the person who deserves to be in first or deserves to be in second will get their just due. So this has all been worked out, and there's a simple way to do it, you know, when there is a tie. So sometimes people get confused, and they don't completely understand how the system works. But, and I'm just saying in a broad perspective that everything is taken into calculations and is done very meticulous on the scoring. So we go over those things over and over again. If there's a tie, we use our system to break a tiebreaker. So there is a way to do it and making sure that it's done right.
Right on. Now, there's going to be, out of your judges, there will be one head judge. What's the role of a head judge?
Well, the head judge, his basic role is to making sure that the competitors are in their right order that they're probably going to wind up in at the prejudge, and making sure that they're in their proper placing. He's the one that makes the guideline about this person will probably be in first when I call him out, this person in second, but that's not necessarily mean that it's etched in stone. So the head judge calls him out, and the remaining judges will vote on who they think should be first, second, or third, or fourth, and then whoever gets the most first-place votes among that, that's the person that usually will get that placing. But the head judge is the one who calls them out and says, this is what we have here. Let's go ahead and mark them down and put them in their proper places. He doesn't do the judging by himself. But he guides them through it and making sure that we have the right people so that they do get judged fairly. And then the judges themselves will make their own call and do their own scoring according to what they think is best.
Okay. Interesting. Now, and also for people, I mean, as far as how you get judges and how judges are trained, there is a process of becoming a, what are they called? Is it like a test judge?
A test judge. You have to test judge 3 times at least minimum
okay.
at 3 different shows. 3 times, 3 different shows, and you have to score into the 90% percentile.
Hmm. meaning that you need to kind of be in line with what the other guys and gals are seeing, basically, that you need to prove that you're in alignment, that you can judge these people in the same way that everybody else can. And, you know, basically you're not putting ninth place in first.
Absolutely right. And the reason why you have to score and the scoring is so tight, where you have to have such a high score, it's exactly for the reason that you just mentioned, because you have to be sure that the person that you're going to place in first will get, if he deserves it, he should get it. If the person is going to be in second, they should get second place if they deserve it. That's why the score is such a high intense score when you're test judging, because you have to make sure that the fair justice is done for every competitor. And it's like you mentioned, you can't have a first place person and then all of a sudden another person has them in ninth place. See, the system is made to where the judging has to be close, very, very close knit, and we all have to be on the same page according to what we're looking at. And what I mean by that is, when you pull someone out and you pull out five or six people, and if a person is being judged, judge number one thinks that the competitor number three should be in second place, or competitor number four should be in fourth place, you cannot stray away too far away from that placing. Hmm. They have to be within a certain range, within a certain criteria. In other words, I can't have him in second on my score and he'd be on sixth and somebody else's score.
Yeah.
So that's why the scoring is made to be generated where it's always within a place or so where this person should be placed. So that's why the scoring percentile has to be so very high when you test that thing. And that's why a lot of people have to do it over and over again, because it has to be done right to just ensure that these people are judged fairly and done equally and done correct.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, you know, on the previous episode we had you on, we did talk about the criteria that you're looking for in a competitor as a judge. But would you mind just kind of running over them again quickly for anybody who didn't hear that episode?
Well, it depends on what the division is.
Okay.
Like, for instance, okay, in men's bodybuilding, obviously most people would think that size would be the main criteria, when that's not true. Actually, it's more of the conditioning is first. It's number one.
Hmm.
Conditioning is number one, and after that comes the symmetry. And the size is the last thing that a judge would look at. So it's done that way because conditioning is the number one criteria for this sport, especially in bodybuilding. What kind of shape am I truly in?
Yeah.
All right. Because that's what this sport is based on. It's not based on a size factor. Of course, size is a criteria, but the sport itself is based on what kind of condition, what kind of shape am I in. That's the number one factor.
Okay.
That's what goes first in that one. So now you take bikini, for instance, okay? It's based on the overall look that a young lady would have. I mean, what kind of symmetry does she have? What's her shape like? Where does her proportions sit in? Do they fit in with exactly how her torso is, her upper body torso? I mean, does her waistline fit in with that? Is it out of line? Is it too big? It's just more of a curvy thing for that look. You know, what type of complete pleasing look does she have? It's not so much muscular. Very low tone muscularity, but very, very good figure, very, very good shape, and some tone with it. So every criteria is a little bit different. And for figure, it's a little bit more.
Hmm.
You have a little bit more muscularity. But the symmetry and the shape go along with it also. But it's just that they generate a little bit more muscularity in their bodies.
Naturally. Yeah, that makes total sense to me. Just out of curiosity, where does women's physique fall in as far as conditioning goes? Because I've heard that, you know, they don't necessarily want the girls to be as hard as bodybuilders. But then I've seen some girls in women's physique that just, to me personally, look outstanding when they're just like peeled to the bone.
Well, women's physique was brought about for girls who really don't want to put on a lot of high quality muscle.
Yeah.
That's the reason why the women's physique came out. Now, there are certain guidelines that still go along with that.
Okay.
And I think in this category they're more stricter on this one because they don't want the women to get too far ahead, get too big and get too muscular. And that's why this physique, this division came about. And since that's been incorporated, more and more women feel more comfortable competing because they see the girls as, hey, that is something that I like. That is a pleasing look. I think I can handle that. I can do that without getting too far carried away. And so far, it's worked out very well because it gave them a new look and a new approach on women's bodybuilding all the way around completely. So it's still muscularity. It's still size and it's still shape. But except the difference is they are required to carry a little bit more muscle than the bigger girls are.
Okay.
But without going too far and getting too muscular. So each step up in the women's division requires a little bit more muscularity.
Okay. Have you seen, now being that women's physique is still fairly new, have you seen the criteria evolve over the past few years since it's been around?
Yeah, oh, tremendously.
Yeah?
Yes. You know, women's bodybuilding in the beginning, I mean, not in the beginning, but years back, had really gotten a bad rap because the girls, you know, were getting big and getting muscular. And things were really getting out of hand for some women, and a lot of them got turned away from it, which is quite understandable. That's not for everyone. But since this new division came along, it completely turned things around. And now, whereas in years back you didn't have any women sometimes at any shows, any competitive bodybuilding at all in the women's category, you know, sometimes there'd be a show where you would have, you maybe have one, one female bodybuilder. But now, since this has been incorporated, you see girls that have come out now more, and it's steadily building stronger and stronger, but you're getting them more, they're coming out more now at each show, and each show is getting stronger, each show is getting bigger. Each year, the criteria starts to grow more. And I think in the process of time, it's going to be a very, very strong division also. It just takes a little time to wash away some of the damage that has been done, but it's starting to make a big comeback, and it's working out very well so far.
That's really cool. Now, you know, when we talk about strong women in physique sports, I can't help but bring up Linda Murray, because I know that you guys used to train at the same gym, Highland Park Powerhouse. What was it like training around her? What was she like in the gym?
Well, Linda Murray and I used to train together. We were training partners for a few years.
That's so cool.
And, you know, we trained together for a few years when she was on her way up and going into her prime. And I think that we trained together up until she won her first Miss Olympia, if I'm not mistaken. But
no kidding.
She was a very, very dedicated person. She was real, very talented because she was athletic her whole life.
Okay.
Which made things a lot easier for her, you know. But she was dedicated to it, and she stuck with it. And she put the sport itself at a whole different level because of the way she came out and the way she came into the sport. In other words, it was like she just became a superstar in the sport overnight. And that did a lot of justice. They did a lot of justice for the sport and for the women that were looking to compete. But she made them feel that, hey, I can do this, and she brought it out and really, really enhanced the sport a lot. So she did a lot of justice for the sport, for herself, and to this very day, she's still very active and she still does a very lot for it. And she looks today like she could compete tomorrow.
She does, doesn't she?
Yeah, she looks very, very good.
Yeah, yeah, I got a chance to meet her last year at her show, Linda Murray Classic, here in the Detroit area, and she was just super nice. And you're right, man, her physique is, you could tell. I mean, she was wearing a sleeveless dress, and her delts, biceps, everything. She looked like she was ready to go.
Absolutely. She's a good ambassador for the sport. You know, she set the right tone for it. And when people see her, and they say, well, this, you know, she's really holding on to herself, and they respect that a lot. Yeah. So she's really done a good thing for the sport, and she still does a very good thing to this very day.
You were involved with the Linda Murray Classic here in Detroit last year, weren't you?
Yes, yes, indeed.
Yeah, that was a great contest. You guys put that together really nicely. I mean, I could see all the way down to the little details, the things you guys did for the competitors and stuff. It was I felt like it was really well put together.
And, you know, she's a top quality, top class person. So she puts on a very good show for the people, shows them respect, you know, does things for them. And then I worked with her and, you know, did some of the judging and helped out with a lot of different things. So it worked out very well. She puts on a very good show.
So tell me now, how long does it take? What kind of preparation is it to put a contest together? Because I imagine that you're probably preparing, I'd say, as far as what, a year in advance?
Well, there are some details that has to be made out absolutely a year in advance. You know, getting the location down, you need to get that done early. Getting the location down that you're going to be having this show at. Making sure that you have all your paperwork in order. In other words, you know, your registration, getting your license to have it. These things like this have to be done way in advance because they have to be licensed and go through the NPC office first before you can do anything. So there's some things that have to be done that goes that go undercover that you wouldn't think about, and they take time to get done. And then other steps come into play as you get closer to the date. You know, getting your information out, getting your word out, getting your media things out. You start those things immediately right after you get your date for your show. You know, in other words, you start doing that 6-7 months in advance, saying that when your show is going to be. Every year there's a big meeting of all the promoters, and we pick out dates. And then we get together, pick out dates, go over the new rules and regulations, and we establish everything. And once that happens, then the promotion of the process begins. So that will be the first step. And as you get closer, obviously, fill in your little details about what's going to happen. I mean, like, you pick out who you want to attend. If you want guests to appear, you start working on that. You get everything else together as you get closer. So, yeah, it's a year-round thing, in other words, to get one of these shows done. It doesn't. You wouldn't seem like it because it's a one-day event and it goes like that, but it takes time to get all it takes time to get all the things together.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing here now, and it's something that I don't think people would necessarily imagine. You know, if they just were, say, an attendee going to see the contest. But yeah, even from, you know, my perspective as a competitor, you know, I want to know what shows are happening, and I want to know, you know, where it's going to be, and also too, you know what, I'll pick a show based off of previous shows that I've seen, how things were run, where places were, you know, located, things like that. You know, that all kind of goes into my decision making, and so I'm sure to be a good promoter, it's got to be a lot of attention to detail.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, so there's things that have to be done, and you have to go over your schedule, making sure that you have everything in order, little details, fine tune things, get all your right personnel in order.
Listen, John, while I got you here, I'd love to ask you in your thoughts and your opinions, you know, somebody who's been around contest promotion and somebody who is a judge in MPC and has done so for a long time, and somebody who's obviously, you know, IFBB pro competitor. We got a lot of people that are getting ready for this show right now. You know, this, like I said, this is going to drop during what the kids call peak week. What do you suggest to the people what not to do coming into this show so that they can be their best?
Well, the biggest thing is, in my opinion, that any competitor I think should follow is that if there is a situation, you know, like they're in now, they're in peak week, stay with the course. Don't stray away from what has always worked good for you. Sometimes some people are panicked when they get close and they say, well, maybe I should try this instead. And usually, more than likely, it'll be a big mistake. So if there is a good process of them hitting their peak completely, and if they know at this point, you can already tell exactly what kind of shape a person is going to be in. And I think if a person is look at themselves and they say, oh, man, I'm looking pretty good right now, my advice is don't change anything too drastic. That means that you're on the right course.
Yeah.
Stay with the course. Walk the line that you're doing. That's usually the best thing to do. Instead of getting too many different opinions, too many different other formats that you're going to use at this point in time, because I've seen so many people do that, and that sometimes, more than likely, it's the most disastrous thing you can do. And I've seen it happen to people over and over again. If you're in good shape now, that means you're going to be in good shape a week from now. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Don't change too much. Stay with it. That means you're already done. Stay right the course. You'll be just fine.
Nice. I think that's great advice. I think that, yeah, I feel like I can see what you're saying. It's easy to want to try to do everything. Because, I mean, that's kind of where we come from as bodybuilders. You know, we feel like if one works good, then two must work better, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. But I think that a lot of people find out in the process of time, you know, we all make mistakes. We all don't make mistakes in our career, myself and everyone else. And those are the things that you should never forget. Those are the moments that you should always remember, I made this mistake, and I'm not going to make this one again. That means you've done this, okay, and you know not to do that. So what that should do for you, that should make you better. That should make things completely better for you. And the next time around, your process should be that much better, and things should always get better from you. Year in and year out, the whole process is made for you to get better if things are done correctly. So when you make a mistake, correct it, move on with it, but stay the course with the game plan that's always worked for you. Don't stray away from it. Stay with it. That's usually the best direction to go in.
Or better yet, take John's advice, learn from his mistakes and my mistakes, and don't make them yourself to begin with. Right? Just don't overdo it.
Don't overdo it. That's right. Don't overthink it. Don't overdo it. Stay with it. Stay the game plan. You'll be just fine.
All right, John. Well, the show's coming up May 13th. Can you give me the location and time for the contest?
Yes. The location is Hazel Park High School, 23400 Hughes Avenue, Hazel Park High School, as I said, Saturday, May 13th. And the prejudging starts at 10 a.m. The finals start at 5 p.m. It's going to be a great show, and if anyone needs information on it, they can contact me or they can Facebook me, and I will gladly give them what they need to help them out. I'll be looking forward to seeing everyone.
Excellent. Guys, I'll tag John in this post, so if you need to reach out to him, you can reach out to him there. Otherwise, tickets will be available at the show, and I hope to see everybody out there. John, thanks for putting this together, and thanks for doing what you do, contributing to our Michigan bodybuilding community. It means a lot, man.
I really, really appreciate you having me on. Scott, thank you. You know, you've been a good friend throughout the years. I look forward to working with you down the line. So thank you very much. And I'm real happy and real honored for you to have me on here. Thank you very much.
All right, guys, this has been John Simmons for the John Simmons Classic coming up on May 13th. Hope to see you all out there. We will talk to you soon. We are out of here. Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott, and with me up next is Ben Chomotsky. Ben, how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing very well, Scott. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing good. Guys, if you've been following along with the stuff that I've done for a while, you'll remember a video series that I started back at Project Bodybuilding, and Ben was the first person, maybe it was the second person, to take part in that video series. He had just got done competing, and I was like, man, I really want to start shooting videos. Will you do this with me? And of course, Ben says, of course I will, but this is like literally the day after he competed. So I know you weren't pressing like a ton of weight, you know, you were still dehydrated, probably had two meals in you, but hey, to start out, I wanted to say thank you for having done that video with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. It's my pleasure doing that. It was. I think it was right after North American did that one.
I think so.
I think I was just beat to hell. You
know? Well, you had been competing,
which was fine. But I competed all year. That was my third show of the year.
Yeah.
So I was just beat to heck, and you know, I was like, I'm not going to not do this for you guys. But at the same point, I was like, all right, this is just going to be some lightweight. Let's go through the motion.
But it was cool.
It worked out. But yeah, hopefully the next one will be a little bit better.
Yeah, it was cool. We got a chance to kind of, you know, people got a chance to kind of see who you were, and I would love to do another one just to kind of give everybody some background if they hadn't seen that video and they don't know who Ben is. You know, I've known Ben for a long time, started out as a men's physique competitor, and he looked great, But he kept putting muscle on, which, I mean, that's, we're all fans of muscle, so I'm happy to see that. And he moved up to classic physique, where he's been doing exceptionally well now. This guy is a top five placer at all the national shows. I'm not just saying this to blow smoke. I personally feel that this could be your year. You've been kind of knocking on that door, and I don't think it's going to take much.
Right. No, and I really appreciate all those, the words about that too, because yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of hard work, and it really was. I started in, the men's physique and just, grew out of it really,
yeah.
Which was great. Cause that's really kind of what I wanted to do anyway. I just didn't think it would happen so quickly. So
how long was that?
No, go ahead.
How long was that? How long did, when you started competing in men's physique, how long did you go before you realized like, yeah, I gotta go, I gotta move up?
Well, you know what? It was so last year was the first year of the new classic physique category. So that really kind of opened up an option for me without jumping right into bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And it was literally, I mean, within probably a month of working with Ken that we realized that my body was just going to keep growing, you know, so and it kept developing and growing and the weight kept coming on. It really didn't stop. And I really kind of grew into the first show last year. So, you know, we started off as getting ready for junior nationals in men's physique. And then within no time, it was like, we got to switch gears here. Started working on the posing a little bit differently. And then, I mean, after that, it was like there was no looking back. It was classic physique all the way through then.
No kidding. And the Ken that Ben is talking about here is IFBB Pro Ken Jackson. You've been working with him for a little while now. What did the judges see last year that they wanted to see improvements on? Because I assume that's what you and Ken Jackson have been working on during this off season.
Right. Yeah, it was a couple of things we kept getting feedback on. You know, one of it is, you know, I always got really good comments on my symmetry and how lean I would be able to get. But with that, you sacrifice the size. And what we noticed was, you know, the guys that were placing higher than me, and the judges would even say it, were just a little bit more developed in all areas.
Okay.
Which, you know, I don't really have a lot of wiggle room as far as weight goes, but development-wise, I got to give the illusion.
Yeah.
My weight, usually generally, I only weigh in a couple pounds under where I'm actually supposed to be and then try to fill back out.
Okay.
But it was more of the development. I think a lot of it was development in my legs was number one. And then the other one was my chest. We decided that we really got to focus on the chest a little bit more, which was interesting because, you know, the first time in my life, I actually had to work on my chest more because genetically it's been a little bit better for me throughout my whole life here. But it was something where my shoulders started to get a little more developed, my back was coming along. And so now this year was more, okay, we got to get the chest to come out a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And then, you know, legs is always something you're going to work on.
Sure.
So fullness in the legs, just to keep that size and keep that, you know, proportion. As far as throughout the entire physique, there was the one thing we had to really pay attention to.
That makes sense. So what was the deal with chest? I mean, I've known you've always had really strong shoulders. I feel like your back has developed really well. What was the missing link in chest that you guys have figured out this year?
Yeah, I think it was the fullness. I think more the upper chest, and I think the tie into my shoulders. Because what was happening was, my front delts were starting to get a little bit bigger.
Okay.
The fullness and roundness in my shoulders were starting to develop more, and my chest just wasn't catching up. So it was more of, it was giving the illusion that my chest was smaller than it really was.
I see.
And it wasn't like we had lost any size. It's
right. Just
everything else had started to develop. So again, you know, the sport being a sport of illusion, we just had to quickly figure out, okay, we got to figure out a way to get a little bit more size on this chest. And the other kind of flip side of that, too, is the posing.
Oh.
So we actually had to, we changed up my posing a little bit, too, particularly in my side chest, where I could kind of align that a little bit better. So everything was, you know, head to toe straightforward. But you know, just it can be just a half of an inch of a turn that makes a difference in a pose.
Interesting.
You know, so that's what we really had to focus on. And we've been kind of hammering that every time we meet.
And that's, you know, that's the thing, too. I think that a lot of times guys don't realize, and we've talked about it on the show here. You know, John Simmons and I talked about this the last time John was on, and a lot of other guys have talked about just how important posing is, because you can have great physique, but if you don't know how to pose it, you leave the door open, basically.
Right. And it's huge, because that's people don't understand that, too. Like you just said, you can have the best physique on the stage, but if you can't pose it properly, you're just not going to show everything off. And so that was one thing that we really, really focused on. And just at the beginning of last year to start with, and then I haven't stopped ever since, because as your body changes, as your body develops, you got to change your posing up too. You know, yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things that really should never be done. It's so simple, because it can only be, you know, 10 minutes a day, even of practicing, you know, and, you know, the other part of that is the conditioning of it. You know, if you're not ready, and you know, Scott, if you're not conditioned for posing on stage, you'll pass out. I mean, you're done for it.
Oh yeah.
You know, and if you're that guy up there that can't hold the pose next to somebody else, you may look just as good, but it won't matter.
Yeah, the judges will see that.
So I quickly realized that. You know, the big part of it for me, too, was, you know, getting up some of these guys at that national level is their posing is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys will might as well be dancing in some of their poses, you know. It was just, you know, it was flawless, you know. So I really had to pay attention to compete with that, too, where, you know, I'm a little bit more robotic. I had to change those things up, too, to make it, you know, match the style of what they were looking for as far as posing goes in that category.
I see. So how would you describe that? Just kind of dig into that a little bit deeper. Say, compare, you know, what do you need to do for a side chest in classic that I might be doing in bodybuilding that wouldn't be quite as appealing for the division?
Right. So some of that's going to be, you know, for what we've realized, too, is with my legs, I'm not going to dip down as low to try to get my hamstring to pop as much. I'm actually going to stay upright a little bit more.
Okay.
To give that, because, you know, I'm already short as it is. I don't want to give the appearance that I'm any shorter to crush down. You know, and in that classic look, that's what they look for. You know, if you look at some of the other guys that they are really trying to base it off just from the old school style bodybuilding, you know, they were more upright in all the poses they did.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to try to mimic some of that too as well, but while also, you know, obviously showing off where you need to. And the other part too is going to be some of the hand placement, you know, based on whether you're going to grip the wrist or you're going to have a, you know, fist to fist type opening or, you know, and then the other one is, you know, how much I actually twist into it. So, you know, instead of really trying to dip down and show off too much as far as, you know, facing into the crowd.
Yeah.
It's a very, we've changed it. So it's more of a slight turn.
Huh.
So that way from, you know, everything's more symmetrical head to toe. And it keeps the fullness in the chest while not putting my shoulders out there too far, where it gives the illusion again that my chest is smaller than it really is.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I can see where you're going with this. So just one more note on you know, your development that you've been working on. So with chest and your training, what did you guys figure out was the method to help bring that upper chest up?
Yeah, we've done it. So what we found has worked for my body, just for almost every body part really, is volume training. It's
okay.
More of just blood flow. And so with Ken, it's more of, you know, can I keep going after, you know, the certain amount of reps where I'm basically to failure and then continue to push through to force blood in there where, you know, there's so much blood in there, you almost can't move it anymore.
Yeah.
And we've learned for me with every body part, but in particular chest, it's just how much blood can I push into that upper chest and let it sit there where, you know, for an hour after my workout, it's throbbing.
Yeah.
You know, so that, and that may require to, you know, drop sets, you know, partial reps, supersets, and reps up into the 15-20 rep range on a standard.
Interesting.
You know, so nothing that's super low and still going heavy, but we've gotten away from, you know, just lifting as heavy as possible because I was realizing that was developing more my shoulders than my chest, you know, so it's more just that focus into certain areas to push blood in exactly where we want it to be and just more controlled reps than anything.
I gotcha. How many times a week do you hit chest?
We do it twice a week.
Ah.
So I try to do it. I try to generally do it with him once a week.
Okay.
And then I'll do it once on my own. So it might be like a Tuesday, Saturday type split. You know, my schedule's crazy. It's all over the place. So it's really when I can get it in.
My
days are always different. But, obviously with the days in between the rest, but we're going to do, you know, some days we focus more on pressing motions. And then some days I might do a whole workout of flies, you know, a fly type motion. Again, where it's going to get more of a stretch and more of a blood push in there than anything else.
Nice. And this is over at Ken's gym, right? What's the name of that place?
Yeah, it's Jack's Fitness.
Jack's Fitness. Okay.
Yeah, it's over there in Shelby Township. That's where I go. I try to see him at least once a week, twice if I can.
Nice.
Get out there, too. He's got a great facility out there.
Nice. So, you know, I kind of get sidetracked here. It's easy to do when we start talking bodybuilding. But the reason I really wanted to bring you on today was, you know, I'm doing this episode about competition. I had John Simmons on, and we talked about, you know, a lot of stuff relating to bodybuilding contests. I thought this would be a great opportunity to bring you on because you own a company that does tanning for competitors leading into shows. It's Eclipse Tanning. You guys are out of Novi, Michigan, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, great. And it's not just you. You've pretty much, you've got a team working with you at this point, right?
I do, yeah. And I have a business partner, Adam, who does the other end of it too. And then we have, oh geez, I want to say 15 total employees right now.
Wow.
Between tanning technicians, hair and makeup, sponsored athletes. You know, so yeah, we've developed, you know, we're only in our, I think, our fourth year now, right now, but we've grown rapidly over the course of the last couple of years now.
That's huge, man. I didn't realize you had that many people. You know, every time I'm at one of the local contests, I always see your people backstage. Everybody's got their Eclipse shirts on. I always see two or three, but I didn't realize that there were that many. What tanning product do you guys use?
We actually use all Jantana formulas for competition.
Okay.
Yeah, so we order products straight from them. We have two different types of product that we use with them. And we do, you know, everything with that as far as, you know, the night before product that we use. And then we use a stage-ready product as well for the day of color.
I didn't realize. So there's actually, you know, because I've been old school. Every show I've done, I haven't done spray tan, I'll be honest. I've gone old school. I've used my pro tan. I started applying it on Thursday night. First coat goes on. And then all day long Friday, I'm painting that stuff on. It's getting all over my walls. It's getting all over my kitchen, all over the basement floor. By the time I'm done, everything is stained orange. So at that note, I'm not going to do that anymore. What you're telling me, though, is that there's a different product that you apply at nighttime. This is honestly news to me.
Yeah, it is. And so there's two different types of products. Well, I should say that. There's several different types of products to use. But we have two different types of products that we find work the best. They work more synergistically together. And when we apply the first one at night, we're able to do a first coat at night that you actually sleep in and then don't shower off at all. And then we apply a second coat that's actually darker the day of the show. So it's like Saturday morning.
Okay.
We apply that before you actually get on stage.
Interesting. So walk me through it now. What kind of preparation is somebody going to want to do, you know, whether they work with you or they go through, you know, another company? Let's say the week before a show, do they want to change anything with their hygiene habits or anything like that?
Yeah, there's a couple things that we find. And really, you know what's funny is we find that it really depends on the part of the country that we're in.
Really?
What types of, yeah, you know what? It's crazy based on the environment that people have, the types of skin, and how dry people are, how oily their skin are. Here in Michigan, we tend to have more oily-based skin. people in Michigan don't take the tan as well as somebody, for instance, out in Las Vegas.
Wow. Because
it's drier, right?
Huh.
So what we really try to stress here, specifically in the state here, is that you know, we want you to exfoliate and clear your skin, you know, at least a week before you get on stage. So what that can be is it can be simply be using a, you know, a loofah or a scrub towel and applying some sort of exfoliating, you know, lotion on there when you shower. And if you can do that every day throughout, what it's going to do is take off the impurities of the skin and get some of that oil to come out of there, open up the pores. And so that way it gets your skin clean and ready so we can put that tan over it without any kind of barrier acting on it.
Interesting. Now, I didn't know that it was different around the country. I do know that I can see how exfoliating is super important because I found that, you know, if you have like a rougher patch, like on your knee or your elbow, those dry spots just, they suck the tan up, you know?
Right. And that's a big part of it, too. And it really varies on person to person because people that have really dry skin, we tell them just to use like a Dial soap, you know, something very easy, simple on the skin that's not going to cause any kind of issues with that, because over dry can be bad, too. You know, so that's where we have that. We play that game a little bit. But in general, most people are going to have a little bit more oily skin. So that exfoliation really helps out a lot with that to get the impurities off. Because what it does, it gets all the built up of the lotions and the, you know, the perfume sprays and the deodorant, everything that you've had on your body for the last, you know, several months, that even when you shower every day, it's still sitting on there. So we want to try to get all that off so that it can absorb into the skin properly, too. The other part of that, too, is to use like a pH scrub that, you know, something like that, that's going to balance out the skin as well.
Okay.
So what can happen is if your pH is a little bit imbalanced on the skin, you know, when that tan dust hits, it can, it may make it so it changes colors.
Yeah.
And we don't like to change colors, right?
right.
We want it to be as clean as possible on the skin so that we get that deep, dark tan that we're looking for. So, and again, that does depend on the person, but anybody that has sensitive skin, you know, they might want to use like a pH scrub, you know, a week before or so just to get that imbalance cleaned up as well.
And yeah, I feel like this job would be a lot of pressure because you've got people that have put, hopefully they've put in a lot of work, you know, 16, 20 weeks of effort. And really the tan is when the package really comes together. That's when I feel like with all my clients, that's where I feel like, okay, now we're here, you know, that's right. A lot of pressure, man, to get that right. Just out of curiosity, if you ever have run into problems, what do you do? Because I've heard of stories like that. People turn green, you know, with a particular product. They have a reaction. I'm sure there's got to be a fix for that.
Right. And there truly is, too. And we have run into some problems in the past that have been, quickly got to go into crisis management mode.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Like you said, this is people, they've worked their butts off for months or years, for this, 5 minutes on stage or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
So that's part of where with my staff, what we've done is now we've literally ran into every problem you can imagine.
Nice.
So when anything happens, we know exactly what to do. So for
that's
instance,
awesome.
If somebody does start to turn a different color that we don't like,
yeah.
we have sprays that we can use, that will help, balance that out to turn them back to that color. Now, if their skin is really bad and they continually say turn colors, what we have to do is just keep spraying them backstage. And we've literally stood there with people. I'll assign a girl to one person and go, hey, you're with this person until they get on. Make sure they don't turn colors. Once they get off stage, they can turn colors and we can fix them later, right?
Right.
So it's more of like we literally have had people turn into the Hulk and we just deal with it and make it work. You know? There's times we've had to respray people just to give them another extra coat so that we can clear up the rest of the impurity and get them on stage.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of things that go along with that. But again, that's where I know, the girls that work for me, they've literally seen every problem happen. So now if somebody comes to us and says, hey, I got this issue, we can take care of it before they get on.
Yeah. And really, I'm talking about comparing this to like old school do it yourself. I feel like this is what the benefit is right here. You get to, whether you use Eclipse or obviously you guys can't be at every show, whether you use any tanning company, hopefully it's a good company. And, it's my suggestion to go with that because you're going to be able to deal with people that, that have seen all these issues and they are going to know how to correct it. And it's one less thing that I have to worry about, if I'm getting on stage or somebody I'm working with is getting on stage, I know that I can put it in your hands and I know that things are going to be, they're going to be solid. Not to mention you guys take care of all the glazing and all that too backstage, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a one-stop thing. And that's always say to people, I'm like, I started this company because I saw a need for it. You know, that was the big thing. When I first started competing, I was just like you, Scott. I did everything myself.
Yeah.
And then spray tan came out, and the first show I ever did. But when I came back into competing again, I got spray tan, and I realized there was a big need because the company that I had used at the time wasn't that great, and I knew I could do it better.
Interesting.
And now I tell everybody, I say, listen, it is so much easier for you to just show up that day, get tanned, let us do your glaze, let us do your touch-ups, not have to worry about a darn thing when you get there.
Yeah.
And you don't got to worry about staining everything in your house for, 3-4 days before. It's one of those set it and forget it type things, and we can take care of you. because we know our color is going to be really good, but I tell you what though, we have the best service out of anybody, and I'll put that up there because the girls that work for me are phenomenal. So what it is they make sure that you are ready before you get on, and that's what counts.
Right. And the reason that I really wanted to bring you on here and talk about this is because this is an aspect. This is one of the things we can control in bodybuilding. Ben, you were talking about, you might not be as tall as some of the other guys. Well, that's like something that's always going to be out of your hands, right? We can control some things though. We can control our conditioning, we can control our tan. Those are two things that, that we can definitely perfect. And honestly too, I feel like, with spray tanning, the you guys get it just so much more even than the best job I've ever done brushing it on.
Right. Yeah, and that's a big thing, too. And there is, like you say, you've done it enough times where you're probably pretty good at it. You know what I mean? But we know we can get it to look the best. I mean, we got the process that we use, we know we're going to cover evenly. You know, so that's the biggest part of that, too. And it's frustrating for me to see. You know, just like you said, it's something we can control.
Yeah.
So whether it's, you know, just like posing, we can control how well we do with posing based on how much we practice, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing with, you know, with the tanning. Like, we can, you know, don't go through all that hard work and put in all the time that you do and then skimp on the tan, because that can make or break your, you know, a fifth place or a first place overall.
Sure.
And it literally can. I've watched it happen. It's very frustrating to me because, you know, what it is, you know, people don't want to spend that extra couple of dollars to get the tan.
Right.
You know, but I tell you what, set aside that little bit of extra money and just do it, because you'll never regret it. You know what I mean? It's one of those where it's going to make, you know, if it can place you, even if it's one or two spots higher because your tan was looking better,
yeah,
that's what you want. That's what we're there for.
And it's really, I mean, realistically, the difference in cost after everything else that you already have to buy to, I mean, a bodybuilding show is a money pit, basically, you know?
Correct.
So what's right. another 50 bucks? So, yeah, but
well, that's what I always say too. You've gone this far, you've spent this much money already,
right?
You know, just be prepared for it. And that's,
yeah,
you know, I think in some people, and I get, you know, first time competitors, they get into competing, I don't think they realize how much it does cost.
You can't,
but you and I know, yeah, but you and I know we've gone through it so much, we just know. So it's a cost that we just understand, but you don't know when you first get into it, you have no clue, you know,
yeah.
And then you start to realize it's expensive, but really, again, whether it's 50 bucks extra, you know, just do it, because you're never going to regret it.
No kidding. So, you know, I know that you're part of the John Simmons Classic coming up here. Your crew is going to be there. And I see you at just about all the Michigan shows now. You guys also do some of the big shows, though, as well, right?
We do, yeah. So we have, you know, we do every show in the state here in Michigan. You know, so we just had the Powerhouse Classic last weekend there. We have the Grand Rapids Championship coming up, the Michigan, Nicole Wilkins. We'll be at Central Western. Nice. You know, throughout the entire year, we're going to have every single show that we will be at. You know, and actually, we just finished up in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago as well. So we've been lobbying to get that show for the last couple of years. And the Jay Cutler Desert Classic, we were out there. We were the sponsor tanner for that, which was almost a 400-athlete show.
Wow.
So we were, you know, that was a milestone for us. It really was, just to get everybody out there, which was just awesome, by the way, because it's Las Vegas anyway. But
right?
It was just a great show to go to. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun out there.
So how about the national level shows? Will you guys have people set up at these?
Yeah, you know what we do? Based on where I compete.
Oh, really?
You know, based on, yeah. So what we do is kind of basically decide where I'm going to compete for the year.
Yeah.
And then if I'll be on stage, we will be there tanning. So whether it's, you know, junior nationals coming up here, we take tans for that. If I, you know, if I continue on throughout the rest of the year, we'll pick the ones and we'll be at those shows. So generally we won't travel otherwise unless we have special requests. Mm. You know, Amber, who does hair and makeup for me, she will get special requests to travel to certain areas.
So she'll pick up
a few clients and do that as well. So,
and no doubt too, she does an awesome job. You know, she's worked with some people that, that I've worked with their nutrition, and, it's like magic, basically. I don't know about you, man. I could not help women with makeup and hair and all that stuff. That's like, at that point, man, I just have to throw my hands in the air. And thankfully, you know, there is somebody else that can help.
I tell you what, Scott, you're 100% right about that, because I'll get phone calls on it, people look in the book, and they'll ask me questions, and I'm like, listen, I don't have a clue about hair and makeup, nor do I want to know about it. So you talk to Amber, because she knows everything, and you know.
That's how you're a good boss right there. You know how to delegate, and you know when to say, I don't know.
I won't even make up an answer, because I don't want to learn it.
Right.
So they're really good at what they do, so let them take care of you.
No kidding. So you said you're going to be at Junior Nationals for sure. That's where you're starting out, huh?
Correct. Yeah. So that's going to be my first show this year. And we'll be tanning out there as well. I think we got 6 weeks to go right now, a little less than six.
Yep. Just about six at this point. This show will come out in just a couple of days. So yeah, we'll be probably 5.5 weeks when this show comes out. That'll be great, man. I've got a bunch of people over there. I'm going to be heading to that show too. It sounds like, based off of your contest season last year, if it's anything like this year, you're going to be all over the place again.
You know what? That's kind of how it looks.
Yeah.
So I'm going, all right, well, let's see how this happens here. But my hope is obviously I can continue to do well and that I don't have to compete all year.
There you go.
But I'm also very realistic about things. So I know, you know, walking into junior nationals, the hope is you go get your pro card and be done with it, right? But
yeah.
At the same point, you know, be realistic. And then so if that doesn't happen, start planning the course of the year. I've looked at doing, in July, there's out in Las Vegas, USA's, and then there's also, you know, North Americans, obviously, in Pittsburgh there at the end of the year. And then this year, actually, the Olympia, they are doing an amateur pro qualifier as well.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So, yeah, they've opened it up for that. So you can actually get your pro card at the Olympia out in Las Vegas. So that would obviously be, one of my last, competitions probably of the year to hit. So if needed, we'll be out there again, too.
Man, yeah, it does sound like you'll be all over the place then. If anybody wanted to reach out and learn more about the company, do you guys have a website they can check out?
We do, yeah. It's eclipsetanning.com. So ECLYPSETanning.com. Yeah, everything's on there, too. We got the full staff's on there, so you can view, everybody you'd be working with as far as hair and makeup goes. All the tanning technicians are on there. We have our sponsored athletes on there. And we can also book, tanning appointments on there as well. So everything's done right on that website. You can book what show you're doing, what time you want. Email confirmations go out. So, yeah, it's actually a really cool thing there. And then, obviously, my number's on there, too, if anybody has any, specific questions they need to get answered.
Awesome. Well, the take-home point here, guys, is, definitely invest in your physique. If you're going to do a contest, get tanned. Have somebody spray you, whether it be Eclipse or another great company out there. Don't mess around and just get it done. Put it in the hands of some people that already are experienced. And like Bennett said, people who've already seen everything that could go wrong, they're going to know how to take care of you and know how to fix it. Ben, this has been really cool, man. I'm glad we could get you on, talk about the company as well as talk about what you have coming up this year. I'm a big fan of your physique, man.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I really appreciate it, Scott, both ways there, getting us on here to talk about that. And always the kind words about my physique, too. So hopefully have a good year and I can keep getting back on here with some good reports with you guys.
Awesome. I would love to do something more with you. We're going to try to resurrect a video program for Advices Radio. I guess I'm kind of making that announcement here now. We haven't said anything on any of the shows yet, but I've got a couple videos all set and ready to go. I'd like to start shooting more stuff. Man, I would love to see Ken put you through a leg day or a chest day. That would be great.
Yeah. No, I think that would be actually a good idea. And if we're going to do that, I'll try to do it when I can get a little food in my system. I'm not so depleted. So the beginning of the year here might be great. So we'll try to arrange that too. I like that.
Excellent. All right, guys, this has been Ben Chemosky and Eclipse Tanning. We are out of here. All right, guys, that's our program for the day. I hope that you enjoyed it. Tomorrow we'll have a brand new episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Ken, Skip Hill, and S2H. I'm excited to have the guys on. It's a great episode. It's ready to go. I hope that you enjoy that too. Then next week we're going to have a really cool interview on Advices with a guy named IFBB Pro John Anderson. He is not only a pro, but he's also a pro strongman and a pro wrestler. Yeah, this guy has pretty much seen it all, done it all. He's going to come on and just share a bunch of really cool stuff. Listen, I talked to him for about 15 minutes on the phone today. And seriously, I wanted to hit like a record button or something because it was just so good. Just right out the gate. I'm positive that this is going to be a really fun interview. And I'm sure that it's going to be super entertaining. So guys, stay tuned. We're always going to be back with more good stuff. Reach out to me on Facebook or at the Advices Radio Facebook page. Be sure to go over to the forum at Advices Radio's website, advicesradio.com, and follow along over there. Feel free to ask questions for all the shows. Always happy to hear from you guys. We're building this thing. It's getting better each week, and it's because of you. Thanks, guys. We will talk to you soon. No!
Devices Radio Network.